friendships that were made amongst the children and the leaders with the kids and the leaders with the parents as well, and for the new contacts and opportunities that that brought. And Lord, we stand in awe of your goodness, and we pray, Lord, that the opportunities that now may present themselves will be maximised, and that, Lord, we will serve you well in those relationships. Lord, we feel thankful too for having such a big site to share and use, and Lord, for all the facilities that you've blessed us with as a church. And Lord, we are very thankful that we can have an opportunity like we've had this weekend to make the most of that and to share the space and the willingness of the people and all the resources, Lord, that you've blessed us with. And Lord, we thank you. One of the big things, you know, Lord, was the talks and the opportunities to share the gospel. And we thank you for how that went. We thank you, Lord, for the talks that took place and for the simple messages that were presented to the children. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that they listened and took things in. And we pray, Lord, that might be a seed sown in their heart that will go on to produce big things. And Lord, we commit that into your hand, knowing that you are the one that changes lives. And for that, we're really thankful. And Father, as we came together as a team, we thank you that we could serve together as with one goal and with one heart to serve you in it. And Lord, we thank you for that love and unity that we've had, and the opportunity to serve together brings us closer. And for that, Lord, we are really thankful. And Lord, we pray that it's all been done for your glory and honour. And Lord, talking of the people, we thank you, Lord, for the organising team, for John, Steph, Sue, Gwen, Arabella, Vicky, Leah, Jean and Kaz, who took big leads in making the big decisions. We thank you for them all, Lord, and for the hours and days that they've put into all the preparation. And Lord, we thank you for the team that provided breakfast, the first aid team, the car park and the site team, the craft organisers, the games and activity leaders, Lord, who all got involved with the children. And we especially thank you for the very young leaders who gave up their Saturday to come and be with the little ones, and how brilliant and responsible they were. Lord, we thank you for their servant-heartedness. Lord, we thank you for those that decorated props and the building and got involved with all the artwork, and Lord, the way they used their gifts. We thank you for those, Lord, who helped set up and cleared up, for those that helped with technology and music. Lord, we thank you for Jane and the catering team who provided food and drinks all weekend long. And Lord, we also thank you for the army of prayers who have been praying over the past few weeks over this weekend. Lord, you have answered so many of our prayers, and we see, Lord, how you have promised to hear and answer the prayers of your people. And Lord, we are thankful for the way that you've done that for us, and the way you've been merciful and loving to us as a whole. So Lord, please accept our grateful thanks this morning. And Lord, if there's anything else that we should be giving thanks for, then Lord, please accept our thanks. And we pray for your blessing upon this whole weekend. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, I've got a few notices this morning. Things that are going on this week. We have Mark preaching for us this morning, so we're looking forward to hearing Mark's sermon. And that's entitled, What Are You Up To While Jesus Is Away? Now this evening we've got Martin Hook preaching at 6:30, so it'd be nice to see everyone along to hear Martin. And on Thursday evening at 7:30, Jeremy Walker is preaching for us at the Stanley Dells Trust meeting. So do come along to hear Jeremy if you can make it. Well, we're going to turn in God's Word now to our reading today. And you'll find that in the Gospel according to Matthew. And chapter 25. As I said, the message, the title of the sermon this morning is What Are You Up To While Jesus Is Away? So we're going to read the parable of the talents, which starts in verse 14 of chapter 25. And this is Jesus speaking, of course. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, we'll be hearing more on that shortly, and we're going to sing again now. There's no children's talk this morning because we've started a bit later, so we'll sing together now. And this song, There is a Higher Throne, it speaks of how that even though God is our glorious King, believers will reign with him one day. And I just want to read the second verse, if that's okay. And there we'll find our home, our life before the throne. We'll honour him in perfect song where we belong. He'll wipe each tear-stained eye as thirst and hunger die. The Lamb becomes our Shepherd King. We'll reign with him. Let's stand and sing together. we've given thanks for the weekend. Let's bow our heads now and pray to God together again. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and worship you today. We thank you, Lord, for the shining sun and for the comfy beds we've slept in, for all the blessings that you've freely given to us. And Lord, as we come into your presence, we thank you, Lord, for who you are and the way that you love. We thank you, Lord, you have opened our blind eyes and softened our hearts to see how you are God and you reign over all. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is too hard for you. There is no one like you. Nothing can compare to the love and the mercy and the grace and the faithfulness that we find in you. And Lord, as we bow before you, I pray that we'll all have a sense of knowing who you are, that Lord, we'll come into your presence, knowing our place. But Lord, we thank you that even though we come as sinners, we come through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes everything perfect. And we thank you, Lord, that our faith is not found in us or the things that we do, but Lord, we wholeheartedly cling to the cross, knowing that Jesus is our Saviour and he is our only hope of heaven and a healed relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you love, the way that you're faithful, long-suffering and kind. Lord, these are attributes we'd love to say that we have plenty of in our own hearts, but Lord, we thank you that we find them all in you and that we are covered with the righteousness of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your love to sinners that led you to give Jesus on the cross to pay the price for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that that is, but also the warning, Lord, that if we don't, we'll be paying the price ourselves. But we thank you that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And while, Lord, there is a new day, there is hope for all who are lost. And we thank you, Lord, that that's why Jesus came. We thank you, Lord, that your word is still faithfully preached around the globe and here in Crowborough as well. And for that, Lord, we're really thankful because we know we are so undeserving of your blessings. But we thank you for the free gift of your grace. Lord, we thank you for the relative peace and comfort that we live in. Lord, we do have trials in our own lives, of course, but we also, Lord, have many blessings that we enjoy daily that maybe we take for granted and that other people around the world don't have. Lord, we thank you for the way that we have access to all the necessities of life. Lord, we pray that we won't get used to them, but we'll have a thankful heart for them. Help us, Lord, to love others and share what we have so that we can show your love in our sharing. And Lord, we thank you as well for the freedom that we have to come and worship together, for the open church and the open Bible, the way that we can freely speak and even be on a live stream without fear of persecution. Lord, this must be a dream that many in the world can't imagine. Many of your people who are in persecuted countries and meet together secretly and without wanting to be caught, Lord, it must feel like a whole world away for them if they were ever to know. And so we thank you, Lord, and we pray that we will act urgently with the word of God, that, Lord, we will be the witnesses of your grace that you have called us to be. Help us to show the love of Jesus Christ in the way that we behave and speak and treat people. We pray, Lord, that we will reflect our Saviour well. Purify us, Lord, and cleanse us, we pray. And Lord, we come to confess our sin as well. Lord, you know each one of us is a sinner. We all fail every day. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that those things in our lives that are getting in the way of serving you and worshipping you as we should, that Lord, you will remove those things from our lives and you will make yourself the very centre of everything that we do. Be the air that we breathe, Lord, and may our reason for getting up in the morning always be for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are ready to forgive, that, Lord, your forgiveness is ongoing. But we pray, Lord, that day to day that you will cleanse us and make us more like yourself. Lord, as a country, we sin greatly. There's much going on that is contradictory to what you've said in your word. And so, Lord, we make up our country's debt of sin as well. And so, Lord, we pray that in your mercy forgive the UK, that, Lord, you will bless us in ways that perhaps we don't even know we need. We ask, Lord, that you will work amongst those who lead us and make decisions on our behalf. We pray for our king and the royal family. We pray, Lord, for our prime minister and the parliament and all the uncertainty around this coming year in that respect. We pray, Lord, that you will be amongst your people, moving them, stirring them, and Lord, getting them into positions where they can speak on your behalf. Lord, we pray that there might be a revival of your work in this country, that, Lord, the empty seats in the churches might be filled with hungry souls wanting to know more of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us for the times that we've turned our back on you and tried to go our own way. Father, please forgive us. And Lord, as we come to you, as we bow down at your throne this morning, we pray that you will provide all that we need. Lord, you know some of us here are walking very difficult paths, maybe known to others and maybe not. And Lord, we thank you that our lives are in your hand, and we thank you for the hope and the joy that you bring. But day to day, Lord, things can be a struggle for many, and perhaps they going through things that they never thought they'd have to. But Lord, we thank you that you are in control of all things, and we pray, Lord, for those that are really struggling and needing to feel your love and peace even more than ever, that, Lord, you will grant that to them, that you will bless them in a way that only you can, that, Lord, you will see them through these trials. Lord, you don't put us into trials for no reason, but, Lord, you've promised to bring us through them. And so, Lord, while we wouldn't want to disrupt your will and take people out of their trials, Lord, we pray that you'll be with them through them and that, Lord, you will bring them out bright, shining like gold. Help us to support, Lord, those who need help. Help us, Lord, to be looking out for each other, loving each other. And, Lord, we pray that our hearts might be full of your love and that, Lord, we will take care of each other here. But, Lord, our neighbours, our friends, our colleagues, help us, Lord, in that way to show Jesus' love and being dependable and loving in every situation. Lord, you know it goes against our natural instincts, and Lord, we can be very selfish, but we pray that you'll make us more like our precious Saviour, and that through it, other people might see Jesus, and they might see love. Father, please help us as in everything that we do, in all the ministries that are going on in the church at the moment. We pray, Lord, that it will all be for your good and for your glory, and Lord, it will be for our souls' good too. And Lord, we thank you for this weekend already. And Lord, we pray we might see future fruit from that. We pray for John and Esther away. Lord, we thank you for them. And we pray that this might be the break that they've needed. And that, Lord, you will be spiritually nourishing them and blessing them. And that they will come back firing and really feeling full of your love. And Lord, in the meantime, we commit all the preaching of today and in the week. We pray for Mark and for Martin today as they bring sermons to us. That, Lord, you will bless the things that they say, that we will hear your voice through theirs. And Lord, that anyone here who's not been saved might feel the love of God around them, might feel that attraction to Jesus that they've never felt before. So, Father, come and be glorified now in our worship. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before Mark comes to preach to us, we're going to sing again of the inability to give God enough praise. We're going to sing Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. So we're going to sing that together and express our praise and thankfulness to our Saviour.
we started a little bit later than usual. I'd like to wish you a good afternoon.
Lovely to have you all here, and a welcome to those of you on live stream as well. John Cowley, our pastor here, is away at the moment. He's in Washington, D.C., bit of a trek away. He's at an intensive course for church leaders, and he's not back here at the church until the beginning of July. And we're really praying that he'll be refreshed, that he'll be encouraged, and that when he comes back, he'll be really encouraging to us as he ministers to us. But he's also going to want to hear about how things have been going on here while he's been gone. He'll want to know what we've been up to. And I'm sure he's going to want to know about Spring Bible Weekend. And so we can tell him we've had over 90 kids come along. We've had amazing weather. The kids have loved it. We've had so many helpers just do so many things all over the place. And I'm sure he'll enjoy hearing about that. Our master is away at the moment. But I'm not talking about John here. Because John is our pastor. He's our senior leader, but he's not someone we serve. We don't serve John. He's not our master. Jesus is our master. And a bit like John, he's gone away for a time. But unlike John, he's gone away for a significant amount of time. In fact, it's about 2,000 years and counting. I'm glad John isn't planning to be away for that long. We hope John will be back with us soon. But we know that Jesus will be back with us. We don't know when, but we know for sure, more than John, we know that Jesus will be back at some point. And we know this because he's told us. In Matthew 24, the chapter before the chapter that we're looking at, he's warned us about this. And he said, look, none of you will know when this is going to happen. He says this, he says, be ready. Be ready for when I come back, because it will happen at a time when none of you will expect. And in Matthew 25, we're then told how we can be ready for Jesus coming again. So you've got the parable of the 10 virgins or the bridesmaids. And the whole point of that parable is we need to be watchful. We need to be on the alert. We need to be ready for Jesus coming again. But does that mean that we're sort of sitting, even in church this morning, sort of looking out the window constantly, expecting Jesus to come back, waiting for him? Or sort of like when we're at home, we're sort of always keeping an eye out the window or looking out the door. Just in the last, couple of weeks or so, there's been a lot of excitement, hasn't there, about the Aurora Borealis, or however you say it, the Northern Lights, I call them. There's been a lot of people excited about them, seen it in the news, and some people here, I think, and certainly others as well, have sort of been up to the Ashdown Forest, and have taken their foldable chairs, and have taken their flasks of tea, and they've waited, they've sat there, waiting and ready to see the Northern Lights. Well, isn't that how we're to be sort of ready for Jesus? So maybe go over the forest where it's nice and clear and just sit there constantly waiting for him to return. Or do you think Jesus would love it if we were so busy keeping an eye out for him that we were almost a bit distracted in our work, sort of moving things around and almost tripping over things because we're so busy keeping an eye on the sky waiting for Jesus to return? Is that what he wants? Well, no, actually, that's not what he wants. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be ready, yes. But what does that look like? Well, in Matthew 25:14-30, Jesus tells a story. Luke read it for us. And it helps us to see what he wants us to be doing while he's away. And I really hope this morning is a real encouragement to you. Especially to all those of you who are feeling absolutely shattered sitting here this morning. Because you've had such a busy weekend and actually a busy few weeks. I trust it will be a real encouragement to you. I trust actually that it will be an encouragement to many of the rest of you as well. But there is also a challenge in here that may be very necessary for some of you to hear. So, Jesus starts his story. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. So we've got this wealthy man,
and he's going for a very long journey. He's going to be away for a while, and so he calls his servants, three of them, and he gives one of them 5 talents, one of them 2 talents, one of them 1 talent. And it's really important here to understand what a talent is. So interestingly, actually, our word for talent, so like Britain's Got Talent, our word for talent comes from this parable. But in this parable, that is not what it means. It does not mean a gift or ability like juggling or something like that. In this parable, it's a measurement of money. Okay, so a talent is a measurement of sort of silver or gold, really. But it's a measurement of currency. And often when I've read this story, I've kind of imagined it being a bit like sort of 5 talents being about £5, 2 talents being about £2, you know, 1 talent, £1. And so you can understand why I've not been very impressed when I've read this story. It's just not that exciting, to be honest. But 1 talent was actually worth a huge amount of money. Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago, it's always hard to sort of judge how much it would be worth in today's money. But as a sort of rough estimation, they say that 1 talent would be about 20 years of wages for an average worker, sort of average labourer. 1 talent is worth about 20 years of wages. So in today's money, if we try and imagine it like that, we're talking sort of hundreds of thousands of pounds for 1 talent. So yeah, 5 talents, what are we talking? We're getting into the millions. Millions of pounds. It's a little bit different to £5, isn't it? So he's given 5 talents. But this servant, he understands that this millions of pounds, whatever it is, this huge amount of money is not a gift for him. It's to be used for the master. He's to trade, to invest. Notice what he does with it. This is verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. He made millions more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. And so firstly, I want us to see this morning industrious servants. Children, if you're not sure what it means, industrious means kind of to be hardworking and busy. Get things done. You're industrious. You get things done. You're busy. Hardworking. Barely has the master walked out of his door on his journey, and this servant is sort of chasing after him, not after him as such, but he's heading down to wherever he's going to do business to trade with his money. Now, we're not told what he does with all this money to trade and to get more money, to get profit. Maybe he invested in a chain of animal feed stores. Or maybe he got into farming equipment manufacturing. Or maybe he bought sort of other farms and sort of sold the produce. Or maybe he set up his own accountancy firm. We're not told what he did. But we do know that he was a busy, busy man. He was doing a lot. He was trading. He totally gets that he's been given this money to trade, to invest, to generate more money for his master. And the second servant, he follows hot on the heels of the first servant. The budget's not quite as much. He hasn't got quite as much money, but it's still a significant amount of money. And he goes out and he does everything he can to get profit. He maximizes his ability to generate profit for his master. Now, we're not going to focus too much on the third servant right now. We will come to him very briefly later. But the third servant, he doesn't head off. He doesn't get profit. He digs a hole in his garden and he hides the money there. Well, days go past and then weeks go past and then months go past and then years go past. And then it says this. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So they have a meeting in his office, and one by one he calls the servants in. And the first one to come in is the servant who was given 5 talents. And so the master says to him, what have you been up to? What have you done with my money? This is verse 20. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. enter into the joy of your master. Then the second servant's called in. So what have you been up to? What have you done with the money I gave you? And he who had given 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you've delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, we still need to get to the last servant, as I've said, but what is this story all about? Why is Jesus telling this story? Well, if you haven't picked up it already, Jesus is the master in this story. And as we thought about earlier, he might not have gone on a journey as such, but Jesus is away for a long time, and he's coming back. And what do we learn about this story that he's telling us? Well, firstly, we're to work as well as to watch. We're to work as well as to watch. You see, Jesus doesn't want us sat in our gardens looking up at the sky all the time. Imagine that every day, Monday to Friday, always in the garden waiting for Jesus' return. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be using all the resources that he's given us to serve him, to do his work here on earth. That's what he wants us to be doing. He wants us to be industrious servants. He wants us to be investing in his kingdom. Now, over the last few days, as you can probably tell, this place has been a hive of activity. There's been people just bustling around everywhere doing all sorts of things. And work for some started a lot longer than a few days ago. And I've seen a lot of industrious servants, especially over the last few days. People working away on computers, doing talks and activities. People hoovering. People cleaning. People cooking. People planning. People chatting. People putting up fencing. I could go on. But you get the point. It's been a busy weekend for many of you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, because this is what Jesus loves to see. This is what Jesus loves to see. Industrious servants using the resources he's given for his kingdom. Now, maybe you haven't been able to make it down here this weekend. I know a lot of you are busy with all sorts going on. But have you had the attitude, maybe while you're doing other things, maybe while you're doing exams, or you've had to be at work, or whatever it is, have you had that attitude that whatever you're doing, you're actually doing for the master? You see, this doesn't mean that every one of us has to suddenly be a sort of full-time servant, that we all need to go into full-time church work, or that we all need to be a missionary, though some of us may be called to those things. You know, actually, we're to serve God in whatever we do. Colossians 3 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. See, each one of us is to serve God in our lives. Some of you may have got exams going on at the moment, sorry to remind you. But you can have a lot of pressure put on you, can't you, to get those grades. And there is something good about getting grades. They can help you. But have you got that mindset of, actually, I'm going to work hard for God? Because who knows how God is going to use the efforts that I'm putting in this week somehow for his kingdom later on. Maybe it's the path that you end up treading later on because of those results or whatever it is. Maybe some of you are much more physically limited, and so you haven't been here this weekend because, well, you can't run around with the kids anymore. You can't carry things around. But you really pray. You're a prayer warrior. And then maybe sometimes you pick up the phone and you encourage someone. And maybe you share your experience of life and of what God's been doing. And you help the person that you're chatting to get to know God better and get to serve God better because of those conversations. And so you do what you can. You know, God has given each one of us so much. He may not have just handed us 20 years worth of wages, nice as that would be. But what does he give us? In fact, that's a good question. So just for 30 seconds, I just want you to think about, what are all the resources in your life? It will be different for all of us. But what are all the resources in your life that you could use to serve Jesus in this world? So just have a quick think about that. I don't know what some of the things that come to mind. As I say, it'll be different for all of us. Maybe for some of us it'll be money. Maybe for some of us it'll be time. Maybe our house we can use. Our car we can use. Our energy. Some of you young ones have got plenty of that. Maybe it's your experience. Maybe it's your intellect. You can help teach others. Maybe it's your wisdom. Maybe it is your very real talents in terms of abilities that you can use to bless others. We tend to think of so many of these things as ours, don't we? They're mine, I've earned it, I've got it. And yet actually all these things are given to us by a good God. And we're to use them for him, we're to use them for our master who made us and gave them to us. We're to use them to tell people about Jesus. To help us obey him, to bring him glory. I thought this was lovely. The bulletin went out on the email, and in the email, I expect a fair few of you saw it. It was just this quote, amazing day, sorry, so this was about the weekend, and especially about yesterday. Amazing day, so many answers to prayers. Weather was amazing, and also happy, and in this particular bit struck me because of what I was thinking about, and such a lovely spirit of serving God. Such a lovely spirit of serving God. And I thought, yes, there are so many industrious servants here in this church, and it's such a blessing to be part of. So we're to work. We're to use what God has given us to work, to use our resources for him. But also, what else do we learn? It's about doing what we can that Jesus really cares about. It's about doing what we can that Jesus really cares about. You know, as humans, we can so quickly feel down and defeated, can't we? We can so quickly compare ourselves to others. You know, we look at someone else and we go, oh, they're just so gifted at that. Or we look at just things they do and they're just so much better at doing it than we would be. Or we look at their money and we think, I wish I had that. Or maybe we look at someone and they're so clever. If only I had a mind like that. But do you notice something in the story? You see, the master said exactly the same thing to the person who earned 5 talents as to the person who earned 2 talents. Exactly the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You know, God knows that we have different abilities. He knows that we have different resources. He made us different. But what he cares about is that we use what we've got and that we do what we can. That we use what we've got and that we do what we can. That's what he cares about. What else do we learn? Jesus will richly reward us. Jesus will richly reward us. Verse 23, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Just very quickly, 3 quick things within this that we see. Firstly, praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. Is that something you are desperate to hear? God saying that to you, well done, good and faithful servant. And many of us thrive off praise, don't we? It does us good, it gives us that boost, that encouragement. Maybe if we've done a job well and someone gives us praise for it, it's a real boost. Imagine what it would be like when Jesus, the King of Kings, says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Won't that make all the hard work worth it? What else? More responsibility. Some of you may be here sitting thinking, I've just finished a load of responsibility. The last thing I want to be rewarded with is more responsibility right now. But you know, this was essentially someone being promoted. This was a real honour. This servant had shown themselves faithful, and as an honour, they got this promotion. They were given more. And I just want to take this moment, just for you younger ones who have been really helping this weekend, I just want to really encourage you to be faithful and to keep helping with some of the smaller things like you've been doing. Because it is a big help, actually. But also, if you prove yourself to be continually helpful, to be faithful in those little roles, then we can give you those bigger roles. And it is a joy to see people serving and growing and taking on more responsibility. So you younger ones, I just want to encourage you, keep serving Jesus. But you know, I think this is pointing to something even bigger, and I'm not going to go into this much, but I think that actually Jesus is telling us in this story that he's going to reward us with more responsibility in the new creation. Maybe that's something we don't think about. But actually, Jesus, when we meet him, he will reward us with more responsibility in his new creation, and that will be a tremendous honour for us. And then also, third part of this reward, enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. This is the sort of thing that a normal master would just never say. They'd never say to a servant or a slave, come on, enter my joy. But you know, this is what Jesus says to everyone who serves him. Everyone who serves him faithfully, Jesus says, come and enter into my joy. Do you remember what we read in Hebrews 12, some of you will do, and it's verse 2. It says this, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. In other words, Jesus was so convinced that the joy was going to be so full and great, that he was willing to go through the cross, through crucifixion, to get to that joy. That's how great the joy was going to be. That he was willing to go through crucifixion for that joy. And now he says to us, all those who serve him faithfully, he says, you can enter into that joy, and you can have it freely. You don't have to pay for it like I did. You can have it freely. You know, in this life, I sometimes think, we do get joy, don't we? But sometimes it feels like droplets of joy. And yet, compared to heaven, heaven will be like an ocean. An ocean of joy. So if you're working hard to serve Jesus, if you've been busy this weekend, or maybe you've been busy elsewhere, but you've had your eyes on Jesus, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. You know, your investment in Jesus' kingdom will not be forgotten. So that's the encouragement that's been particularly on my heart the last few days as I've been thinking about this weekend. That's particularly the message that I've been wanting to share with many of you this morning. But there is one more servant. And I want to share about this servant because Jesus shares about him. Jesus includes him in this story for a reason. It's what it says in verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. You can imagine him sort of flicking the dirt off as he hands the money bag back to his master. But did you notice how he viewed his master? What his perception of his master was? His perception is that his master is a hard man who sort of takes the earnings and the rewards of other people's hard work and he takes it for himself. That's this servant's perception of this master. And so apparently out of fear, he hides the money. He doesn't want to risk losing it. Now it might not seem like he's done that much wrong. You know, it's not like he goes out and wastes all that money. I mean, that would be a big party. Yeah, but he doesn't waste it like the prodigal son. And so we might look at it and go, well, you know, Jesus gets back what he's given. It's not too bad. But the master, Jesus, sees it very differently. This is what he calls him, a wicked and lazy servant. A wicked and lazy servant is strong language. Verse 26, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. Now the master is not necessarily saying that he is like that. But he's saying, well, even if you thought I was like that, at least give the money into the bank. At least get me some interest on it. But this guy hasn't even done that. And what it does is it reveals his heart that he doesn't care about the master. We don't know why, but he doesn't have any love for his master at all. So he doesn't do anything. He sort of plays it safe. He buries the money that's been given to him. And he assumes that everything will be fine when the master gets back. I'll just give it back to him, that'll be fine. And maybe this is a bit like you this morning. God's given you so much. But for whatever reason it is, you don't really care about God, if you're honest. So you don't do anything for him. You don't care about him. And you're a pretty good person. I mean, we're in church, right? Pretty good person. You'll be all right when he comes back. And so you forget about God and you get on with your own life instead. But what happens to this servant? It says the master does not let him even keep the talent that he has. He takes it off him and he gives it to the one who has 10 talents. And Jesus finishes the story. He says, cast this worthless servant into the place of outer darkness. So a place outside of God. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, it's a place where people are tortured by regret. Tortured by the bad decisions they made during their life. It's a picture of hell. And this story warns us that Jesus is coming back. And he will settle his accounts with each one of us. And he will ask that question of us, what have you been up to while I've been away? What have you been doing with everything that I've given you? You know, it's a sobering finish to the story. But maybe you need to be warned about it. Maybe you need to be warned now about the seriousness of rejecting Jesus' rule. Because, you know, there is forgiveness available now. If we seek him now, we will find him. You know, we can experience his forgiveness so that we never have to know what this servant experienced. Now, a wonderful thing is Jesus became the ultimate servant. It's the wonder of the gospel. Jesus became the ultimate servant. He gave his life for us so that our sin could be washed away, so that we could have a clean start. And so we're going to sing a song now that's going to help us think through Jesus, the servant king, what he's done for us, and then how we should respond. So when the music starts in just a moment, we'll all stand and we'll sing together. Let me just read this. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Let's stand and sing. Lord God, I thank you for the master that you are. And Lord, I pray that we would serve you rightly. Lord, help us to serve you more. And we thank you for the way so many have served you so much over this last weekend. And Lord, we look forward to the day when through your grace, we can hear those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, we can look forward to entering into your joy. So Lord, do be with us. Keep us safe as we head away from this place, I pray. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.